The text for this morning's sermon is taken from that reading from 1 John chapter 3. I begin just by rereading verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By the way, I realized after the children's message was over that I had forgot to turn the throat mic back on. So I apologize if you didn't hardly hear any of that children's message. I turn it off for singing the anthem, so I'm not the only person you hear. And sometimes I forget to turn it back on. It's on now. Two years ago, I preached on for All Saints, I preached on the gospel, that same gospel reading. And we are going through Revelation right now. And those of you that are attending with the Revelation Bible class know that we've been covering the Revelation 7 and have covered that. And I thought it would be good to listen to 1 John 3, that reading. To be a Christian, to be a child of God, is pure gift. It's not something that we choose to do. It's not something that we have enough power to do on our own. It's gift. Lighting a little candle can give you ideas or analogies, illustrations. But one thing we notice, that the way our candles normally work, they have to be lit from the outside. They don't light themselves. You have to light them. As children of God, this is something that he does for us. And so when we see that faith in God, in Jesus Christ, in anybody at all, we know that God is working there. That's impossible to have that faith in Christ without God's action in that person's life. John wrote, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Dear friends, that hymn that sometimes we sing, and we could have sung it today, but it's a well-known hymn, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." As a Christian, we realize that the evil that breaks out over and over again all around us, and the problems, and the evil in us too, are fighting against sin, that this isn't right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be, and we're very correct in saying that. We're a stranger here. We are children of the Heavenly Father, and the way he designs things to be perfect and holy, full of mercy and truth, is not what we see around us all the time. We're a stranger here. And so we look forwards to heaven. In the world, if a person is not a Christian, they truly, truly cannot understand that. Because it's something that God gives. People can talk about Christianity, observe Christians, or write about Christians from the outside. But from the inside, that feeling that it's not right, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, that is a longing for our heavenly home that God gives us. And we learn about that through especially the other books of the Bible too, but the Gospels, the way we see Jesus act and minister to people, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, we get such a strong with that's heaven. That's what heaven's like. That's what God is like. But we look around the world and we don't see it that much, even in our own lives. But in Christ, we see this is what it's like, and the world doesn't know that. If you don't believe in Christ, don't have Christ in their lives, this is what it's like. So John's writing. So they didn't know us. They didn't know God, and so they don't understand us. This is truly is a gift from God. It's not from the world. It can't be pretended. In that second verse, one of the things I would like to emphasize for us to pay attention to is, he says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." Now. In this life. We thank God for those who have gone before us in the faith and are in heaven. But we can never, ever forget or let it weaken in our minds that we are promised heaven, we are God's children now. This life. And whatever is going on in this life, I am a child of God, I'm a child of God. We can't lose faith in Christ. But in faith in Christ, I'm a child of God now. He also says in verse 2 there that what it's going to be like, we don't see it all yet. I pondered upon this teaching. In Christ, in the Gospels, we see the holiness, we see the healing, we see the compassion of Christ. They saw his glory at the Transfiguration. But yet, there was not that complete calmness, that complete peace. The promise is there. We have it in Christ by faith. But it hasn't all materialized yet so that it's all finally, the troubles are gone. It hasn't happened yet. And we're waiting. The promise of the kingdom, the kingdom of God that Jesus preached, it's here and yet it's still coming. And that's what we Christians are waiting for and trying to draw others into as well. God's glory and his life, his eternal life that he gives to us, we can't perceive it all yet. You chuckled, and I also chuckled downstairs when I told the choir, I get over COVID, I'm coming back to church, and then I stab my thumb. I mean, how many things are going to go on, you know? It's like that in life, sometimes big, sometimes small. It's like, one more thing, one more thing. But God wants us to know we are his child now, and there is a glory in life he promises us that we have, and yet it's going to come all. It's still coming. In the little notes I have, the blanks there, I put in life and love everlasting will be ours, but you can add all kinds of things in. You can add in peace. You can add contentment. You can add glory. You can add forgiveness. You can add life, love. All these things we will see fully. Will be everlasting. And to remember also as we go through life day by day by day, our souls are everlasting. We do not cease to exist. Scripture says that when we die, we are asleep in Christ, and he calls us, and he raises our bodies so that our bodies will be everlasting. So our loved ones are there asleep in Christ, waiting for the time that he will call all people for judgment, some to everlasting glory in heaven, some to condemnation. But that quality of everlasting is ours now, and yet we will fully perceive it when Christ comes again. We can't lose that part of the gospel. We see the temporariness of human plans. We see things fail in this life. Some things take and are successful, but many things don't work. And then people argue about this or that or this or that because it's not working. I have a better idea. I have a better idea. You know, it can be in many areas of life like this. What God wants us to know is that we are his sons and daughters everlasting. And he is in control. We should look to him. Commit our lives to what he's going to is doing and doing for us. In verse 3, John wrote, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." We remember Christians, maybe family members, who have died in the faith. And we remember what is so strong in our memories of them is their kindness, but also their faith in Christ, the reason for their kindness, the reason for their stamina in life was their faith in Christ. And that's a special gift that we've seen in them. And so also, as we go through life, yet here on this earth, we need to pray over and over again, "Let me be a light so I can be an encouragement to others, not for my glory, but just to help others. And that I won't hinder others, but that I would help others in the faith. Like my father helped me, like my grandmother helped me, like my aunt helped me. How they help me? Help me, God, to be like that for somebody else." Who thus hopes in him. That phrase, "who thus hopes in him," is talking about faith in Christ. Hope is... this hope that he's speaking of here is not a hope like, "Oh, maybe it'll happen. Maybe I can get another 1,000 miles out of my car. Maybe I can get this cast off my arm a week early." Not kind of like that. But a sure and certain hope. Whoever hopes thus, whoever knows that he or she is Christ, is God's son and daughter, whoever knows that, is in Christ. And that person is purified by Christ. It's not our own purity, it's Christ. Every bit of goodness that you can remember of your loved ones who have passed on and are in heaven now, every bit of goodness that you remember was given to them by God. It was a gift to them by God. My Aunt Mildred, she passed in the 1990s, mid-90s. We have the same birth date, May 30, both born on May 30. We have a silver dish that was given to my Aunt Mildred, and she had never had her own children. She and Uncle Harold never had their own children. But she has a silver dish, a silver bowl that we've inherited, that she got as a gift from her church for being Sunday school superintendent for 50 years. That was a gift that God was given to her to help her to go through life at the same congregation for 50 years to help the children. And congregations and people, families are here at Zion for a long time. And other congregations for a long time. Serving one another. This is a gift of God. A shining light. And we pray that God would help us, you and me, to be a light to others. To help them, to not hinder them, but to help them in their faith. To show Christ's love. To show Christ's forgiveness. This is what is eternal. This love and forgiveness in Christ as God's children. This is what goes on. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the blessings you have given in given our lives with loved ones who have been Christian witnesses and servants to us. Whether they helped us when we were very young or maybe just even recently, they have been gifts to us, and thank you for them. And we ask you to bless our congregation, to bless our families, to bless each one of us with faith that endures, with the energy and the resources to help others. And perhaps that means to pray for others. Maybe we don't have a lot of strength, but we have strength to pray for others. Help us to be a blessing. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the final two verses of For All the Saints, 677.